Thanks, music team, for leading us. Thank you, Dean, for those announcements and so on. I wanted to also give a special thanks. I don't know if you noticed last weekend, but we had trouble with our soundboard. And we had I said, we need a tiger team. Who knows what a tiger team is? Ever heard that term? Oh, my goodness. All right, that's okay. So a tiger team is a group of individuals that focus on one specific idea or problem, and they don't rest until that problem's solved. So that's what they did. They didn't rest until that problem solved. So I just want to give a hand to Earl and Dave Talcott and Earl Hahn for fixing our... They have put it together so that it works for now, but we, as Dave told me, we're going to have to spend a lot of money. So... That's just some of the troubleshooting that we'll have to do, but you can be praying for that. So that's part of the persecution that we endure as a church is the continual failure of technical items. We're continuing in our series. We're talking about specifically those that are persecuted or when we're persecuted and what do we do with that. So as a review, just to review what we've gone through is we have the poor in spirit, right? We started that off and who are they? And they're the broken and acknowledge their need for God. And as I go through this, I want you to kind of see this progression go on. And those who mourn, understanding our own loss and hurt before God, the gentle or the meek, those that humble themselves and in quiet strength before God, they give themselves to the Lord. Hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who want things to be different, in a positive way, not just outside, but inside as well. And then to be merciful, a character, a trait of God emerging to see people beyond the mere axiom of cause and effect, reward and punishment. Pure in heart, inwardly clear and clean. And then finally, the peacemaker, looking out for the best in and for everyone. What we're really seeing here is the progression from brokenness to a changed heart that is now affecting others for God and for Christ. That's what we see in this progression. And then we finally get, because of that faith, their walk and their walk with Christ, the world is now starting to pay attention to them and starting to react or reject them. And that's where... What Christ is trying to show is from a broken person to a person that's actually changing the world and is getting pushback from it. And that's our verse today, is blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? So today we're going to look at when compromise is not an option. What does God promise in relation to persecution? To what it also means is to be known by him when you're in this situation. And what do we see in Christ's example in that persecution? Let's just quickly pray and ask the Lord to speak to us personally. Lord, I ask that you speak to me, to everyone here personally about this issue of persecution. When we're persecuted, when we see others persecuted for their faith. In your name. Amen. So there are times... to compromise our desires. So to make peace, like the person before, to be a peacemaker. There are times, though, when we can't. We cannot. We are going to follow Christ. We've decided to follow Christ. And to try to compromise means we can no longer follow Christ. So if your friends want you to go a place you know is not right, or you say you can't, or you and you don't, and you find out you're going to be talked about, you have to endure the little goody-two-shoe comments, or they're too good for us, or they can't be with us, or they're not one of us types of persecution. That's not necessarily the heavy-duty persecution that the Lord sees, but it is persecution, or it's part of that. For example, it reminds me of a story a while ago when I was doing some construction or working as an engineer in construction. And construction guys like to, particularly in that day of age, they like to go out and party at the end. And some of the places they like to go to party aren't very good. And they asked me to go with them. And I said, I can't go to a place like that. And then the next day, I endured the well, you know, you can't be with us because you're not, you know, you're not hanging out with the good guys. You're not hanging out with us. You know, you can't be one of us. So that was hurtful, you know, because we were building a relationship. And there was, in a way, a form of persecution. And I'm sure many of you have endured some of that or worse. And there's many other kinds of persecution. There's persecution in beatings. There's persecution in having property taken away. There's persecution in death that's happening even today. We're going to talk a little bit about that. So when we can't compromise, the Lord says, blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you. How's that interesting? Exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. So if you are gentle or hunger for righteousness, are merciful or pure in heart, or a peacemaker, you may be praised or you might be attacked. Sometimes it's from your own family and friends. Sometimes, and most times, it's going to hurt. You're going to be left out, gossiped about, talked about, slandered, spurned, if you stick up for the Son of Man. If you stand for righteousness, you will likely come to a point where you have to take a stand or back down. We were just even talking about that in today's prayer meeting. You know, various communities now are deciding about whether to have cannabis or marijuana sold in different spots in the community and to stand up against that. So Dean was talking about standing up against that. Will he face persecution? Possibly. Possibly. If you stand there, there will be conflict. If you stand up for something, there will be those who don't like it. Sometimes they're even killed for what they believe. In Matthew 23:37, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing, and you would not have it, or you would not. Even if God is on your side and sending you, there is no guarantee that you'll not die for your faith. Another verse that talks about that, therefore I am sending you as prophets and sages and teachers. Weren't those the guys that just got killed? Some of them, he's talking to Jerusalem, you will kill and crucify. Others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. So being a child of God is not getting out of suffering card. I think sometimes people believe that, oh, if we, you know, really get into this, you know, it'll be our best life now. Everything will be fine. On the contrary, we're not getting out of that. In this world, it is the opposite. If you stand with him and his people, this is the promise that Christ has. So let me just make sure where I am. Yeah, so persecution of Christians can be traced historically back on the biblical account of Jesus to the first century of the Christian era and the present time. Early Christians were persecuted for their faith in the hands of both Jews and whose religious Christianity arose and from the Romans who controlled much of the land across which early Christianity was distributed. Early in the 4th century, the religion was legalized by the Edict of Milan and it eventually became the state church of the Roman Empire. So you would think all persecution would end. However, Christian missionaries, as well as converts to Christianity, have been the targets of persecution ever since this emergence, sometimes to the point of being martyred for their faith. In the 20th century, Christians have been persecuted by various groups, including atheist states such as the Soviet Union and North Korea, which is current. During the Second World War, members of some Christian churches were persecuted in Germany for resisting Nazi ideology. And that's where some of the, for example, the Hiding Place and other types of stories have come up, or stories we've heard about. This is from opendoors.org if you want to learn about what's happening in the persecution land at this very moment. So these are statistics that comes from that. I'll read some other. This is quotes from their their webpage. It says, India, the world's largest democracy, has entered the World Watch list for the top 10 for the first time as Hindu extremists act with impunity and violent attacks on Christians and churches arise. This has happened in the last 5 or 10 years. This is within your lifetime. So this is driven by a growing ultra-nationalism, which has brought waves of violence against India's significant non-Hindu religious minorities. Rising nationalism is leading to similar persecution in other countries such as Bhutan, Myanmar, and Nepal, where national identity is tied to the religion. And those from minority faiths are considered outcasts or should be outcast. Persecution in North Korea, who's the worst, is worse than any other country in the world and has been for the last 18 years. Over 4,300 Christians were killed simply because of their beliefs alone in 2018 alone. Many deaths go unreported because friends and relatives of the dead are afraid to report it. This is essentially true for Christian converts in any rural area. In north and middle belt of Nigeria, at least 3,700 Christians were killed for their faith, almost double the number a year ago, which is 2,000. The promise is this, if you follow Christ, you will be persecuted in some form or fashion. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, period. They will do so because their view of God and Jesus. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. Because they hate me, being Jesus, they hate you. And then it's okay, don't be afraid. This is part of the course. This is par for the course. In Revelation 2:10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, and you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. But why be faithful unto death? Why put up with it? Why be courageous? Why, you know, it'd be just better to just be quiet and not cause any trouble. Because it is not an unknown future that we know. We have. We know what's coming. We know the end of this story. Jesus says, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the body, both soul and body in hell. The promise is the kingdom of heaven, not because of the persecution, but because we are known by him. And that's kind of part four here, or part three. To be known by him. So this is the verse, this is the very beginning of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the same promise that's for those that are persecuted. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. How could both of those be true? Because this is the beginning, this is the start. Who did he say before the Pharisees that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these? There are two groups that I remember. Who are the two groups? Children and, who's the second group? They will get into the heaven before you. Persecuted, but there's another group. Remember the guy that I showed? He showed the guy that was beating his chest. He was the humble who are, what did they do for a living? Tax collectors and sinners or prostitutes, right? He said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven, or they will get in before you, right? Because of they realize, don't look at me because I'm so sinful. I am a sinful man or I'm a sinful woman. And in the same regard, at the very end or near the end of the Beatitudes, it's the same person. The persecuted is also in that category. It's the same, kind of the same person. The person who is poor in spirit recognizes their need for God and acts on it. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They're sharing this blessing with those who are persecuted. And that's why. Because they sought him out. Remember, before they weren't known by God, you were not my people, and now you are my people. You were outcasts, and you were rejected by society. Now I accept you. I'm the one that's accepting you. That's what's exciting, because we sought him out. They sought him out. They gave everything. They gave everything for him. They gave what little they had, and not only were they poor in spirit, but they repented and followed him. And that's where this connection kind of comes from. They looked for it. Oops. Yeah. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The Lord says, if you look for him, you will find him. If you ask, if you knock, if you seek, the doors will be open. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. Well, all of that comes with the whole package. So you might become more merciful. You might be changed by that. You know, something's going to happen to you. You want that. Well, here's everything that comes. And because you change, this also comes as like, well, the world doesn't like that. We want you to be like us, evil, be evil, smoke and drink and all that. You know, we want you to, you know, not cause this waves of righteousness. The Lord said, if you look for him, you will find him. The same person now has let him in, and they've dined with him, dined with Christ in a sense, and made Christ a part of their life. That person has been transformed from poor in spirit, from their own inner helplessness, to strength in the midst of bitter persecution. The same individual. That's who we're really talking about. What happened? What happened to them? And this is, to me, is the exciting part. It's this transformation. And that's the part that no one can argue with. This transformation happens to those same people. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. So look at this verse. So you're not conformed to the world, you're transformed, and then there's testing. You may discern what the will of God, what is good, what is the will of God, and what is good and acceptable and perfect. So this transformation happens, and everyone gets to see that. So if you're not conformed, you will be transformed by Christ. That transformation is very real and unstoppable and unexplainable by human standards. How does a prostitute become a safe house leader and builder and rescuer, as we saw the video, I think it was last week, that Mike showed us? How does a tax collector become a martyr? How does the selfish become selfless? How does a drug addict become a pastor? How does some old lady named Ludmilla in Outer Mongolia change the course of nations through her prayer? Through this, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of God, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. As we know and are known by him, we become more like him. As that happens, the same thing that happened to him will happen to us in some form. And that's transformation. The three ideas you got to think of is transformation, transformation, and transformation. This is the one powerful proof that cannot be denied. It must be silenced, but it cannot be denied. The only way to silence it is persecution. Well, if you're not going to shut up, we're going to have to kill you. If you're not going to be quiet, we're going to have to take away your property, because we can't deny what's happened. And that is why there is increased persecution as we mature. So what do we do if we are persecuted? What happens if that actually happens to us in some way? and will happen because it was promised. And I want to point to Christ's example. It's the last section that I wanted to talk about. And this could be used in just about any area, but we're going to talk about it in the area of persecution. And we're going to kind of go through what did Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What did Jesus do during the crucifixion as examples to us? So we have someone that went through that persecution to death, and that's Jesus. And he endured beatings and scourging and crucifixion at the minimum, and insults, and in an unjust way. What did he do? How did he face this persecution and death, and what can we kind of learn from that? And I would say there's six things that we can do. And the first example is this: be still and know that he is God. And the two verses, I'm not going to show you these verses, I'm just going to read them to you. This is Psalm 46:9. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In Mark 14:60, it says, the high priest stood up and came forward and questioned Jesus, saying, do you still not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you? But he kept silent and did not answer. Did he not answer just to show how cool he was? Or show, I can put up with you guys. I'm like Clint Eastwood. You know, I don't think that was the reason. As we read later, he answers when he needs to answer. Because this had to proceed as it was going to proceed. He knows these things must take place. They are as they should be. Because he knows the Father and believes he is God. In the midst of the persecution, death, and sickness, be still. Don't panic. Be cool, in a sense. And know that he is God. That will help give you courage in that time because he is your courage. Be still and know that he is God. Give thanks. In Luke 22:14, he says, when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it with you until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. The hour was here. The hour was here. He was about to be betrayed. He was about to be beaten and crucified. But again, he trusts in God. He gives thanks. He gives thanks. He does not thank him for cruelty or the horror that is about to happen, but what will result? What will be the result for it? Eternal life for everyone. His death means life. So when you're in that situation, you could thank him for his presence, his strength, this opportunity to suffer for his sake. There's an example in Acts 5. So when they were on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer for his name, they had been beaten and imprisoned, and they were excited about it. They were giving thanks to the Lord that they had that opportunity. That seems weird, and it isn't, but it is his way, and he says, give thanks. Even in the face of persecution, give thanks to him who made you. That will help give you courage, because he is your courage. Number three, accept and offer your fear and loneliness. So this, I think, is very helpful. In Luke 22:41, we see the Lord do this. And he withdrew from there about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. yet not my will, but yours be done. When there, these are kind of times, and this could be in any kind of times, that are like this, we are facing dire circumstances. And it's not easy. We may want to quit. How many have ever wanted to quit? All the time. You may want to give in to something to escape. We're afraid. We're alone. This is the way it will likely be. When you're persecuted, excluded, facing death, seeing death in whatever form, you may not only feel afraid and alone, but actually be, you may actually be alone and afraid. Jesus faced this very much alone. His disciples did what after this, right? They denied him, they abandoned him, and they slept while he was in this anguish and prayer. And who does he turn to? He turns to the Lord and says, Lord, I'm scared and alone. All I have is you. Is there some other way? If not, you are God. He felt this way all the way to the cross, big time. Probably all his life. We see that in different times in Scripture. He says, I'm going to go do this. And so he knew about it. He knew about it. Oops. Another time in Matthew 27:46, he says, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out to the Lord, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? We can feel left alone by God as well. I have felt that at times. But Jesus tells God, I feel alone. Where are you? In the midst of the persecution and death to come, he tells him how he feels. We see that with David quite a bit. When he gives it to him as an offering, yes, your loneliness can be turned into joy or peace or courage. But not my will, but yours alone. Your will be done. Offer your fear and loneliness to him. Avoid self-pity. It's real easy to do. I do this while carrying up his cross up a hill unto a death. He did not say, woe is me, look at me carrying this cross. You evil people. In Luke 23:27, the following him was a large crowd of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting him. But Jesus, turning to him, said, daughters of Jerusalem, stop weeping for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. Jesus could have said here that he could have said a lot of different things. He could have said, yeah, my life stinks. You know, boy, do I really have it bad. Look at this. Boy, make sure you don't do this. Or something of that nature. He was all about others. Even his persecutors. In 23:34, but Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. He asks for God's forgiveness on those who are essentially stealing his clothes, persecuting him, stabbing him, beating him. They don't care about him. They don't. But he cares about them. When faced with persecution and death, even an illness or something else, avoid the pity party. Why? It's a trap. It leaves you nowhere. It is the feeding of ourselves, and it is not a courageous thing. It is not the example before us that Christ gives. The last one is do something for someone else. So while he's on the cross, he encourages the thief. Luke 23:42, and he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. other examples of things he did for other people while he was on the way. Right when this started, from beginning to end, he heals the ear of the slave who was arrested him. He encouraged the women mourners following him. He makes sure his mother is taken care of and asks for the forgiveness of those killing him. Those four things are for other people, not for himself. When we focus on others, our life and our death are given real meaning. It gives us courage to know it's okay. It keeps the focus off of my death and to the life of others. It completes our call into what he has instructed us to do, and it gives our life up our life as he gave up his life for his. If wanted to end on this, for the love of Christ controls us. This was from 2 Corinthians 5:14. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again from the dead. There was the verse right there, sorry. So in closing, remember, when it's time to not compromise, not be a peacemaker anymore, and that this is the time when it's not an option anymore. We promise is we'll be persecuted, but that's when we know we're known by him, and then we look at Christ's example and those things. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll have the music team come on up. Lord, thank you so much for your example, and following that will be very difficult, but we look to you as our example. You are our Lord and our King, and you died for us, and you asked us to do the same for others. Lord, I ask that you would help us be examples, to be walking in your way. If we're persecuted, that we would react the way you reacted, and that we would, when it happens, we not be surprised, because you promised it. These things we pray in your name. Amen. So,